Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to your Soul Sisters podcast. I'm Jessie Katz.
Hey, I'm Dara Golub.
And we are your hosts, as you hopefully well know. And if this is your first time tuning in,
yes,
welcome to the show.
Welcome.
We never shout out the new listeners. It's been a while, right?
Sure.
But hopefully there are some with each
every
new
time.
Episode.
Yeah. I think this one especially, I feel like
could have some new ears.
Definitely. I mean, we touch on such a range of artists and a range of like eras that they're from, and this one is so new, so modern, so new.
Yes.
Marian Hill comes from the internet, like pretty literally.
Or the television. Well, you're right. Actually, probably most people have seen this commercial online.
Well, that's true too. Right. It all lives. If we want to just be real, everything's on the internet.
Yeah.
Everything happens from there. But they put a song out and blew up, you know, subsequently from there pretty easily and quickly, and now they are in an Apple commercial.
And then it became the most Shazammed song in the country and is still one of the most Shazam songs.
Which I think makes like total sense later. As like a metric for what's popular.
Yeah.
Sort of. Because you have to be listening, you have to have your ears in the right places, in very specific places for that to like make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, no, it's
I mean, there's all these different now, you know, ways of measuring what's popular, and I think that
that's true.
Most Shazammed is a logical one.
Yeah. And like the Shazam chart, I don't know if that's what you call it, but that's sure. Shazam chart.
Shazam chart.
It correlates pretty closely with like the Billboard charts, you know, right now, which we talked about with her. I think Ed Sheeran is number one still on the Billboard Hot 100, and he's the most Shazam song right now also. Anyway, so yeah, it catapulted them and they're still riding that wave.
Yeah.
It's they have a bunch of awesome music and
jazzy, soulful, dancey.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, but not our usual '90s fare of late. So
right,
yeah, this is a cool departure. And Samantha is dope. So here you guys go, Samantha Gongol from Marian Hill.
Thank you so much for letting me do this.
Thank you for making us feel justified for being in a closet.
In an archive
with you.
Closet? Yes. You're the first guest to request this. So.
Oh my god. I don't know. I just saw Beauty and the Beast. Maybe there's something very.
Yes. Oh my god. You're having a Belle moment.
Libraries. Yeah.
No, what did you think special. Of Beauty and the Beast?
I mean, it's a classic.
Right?
It's a, like.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was beaming every second.
Totally. And actually, the ending was very sad.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's not sad. It ends up being very happy, of course, because it's Beauty and the Beast and it's a fairy tale, but they really tug on your heartstrings when they all solidify and become
the moment when all the animated objects know that they're about to like lose their souls.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Potts is calling for Chip.
Ugh.
I went with all my cousins and
we were just
sobbing.
It's adult cousins.
That's what I'm saying.
Adult
cousins. Adult cousins from my age.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It was really hard.
But then my brother.
I got really angry at the end because the second the credits rolled, all my cousins left to go to the bathroom. And I was like, guys, but we haven't heard the Ariana John Legends cover of
and they're like,
yet.
I'm out.
And they're like out of there. And I was like sitting in there because it goes through all the
so
credits
not
before they play that song. It's like after the credits.
You have to really
and
know.
I just sat there. I was like, I'm not leaving until I hear this song. And I texted them. I was like, please come back inside the theater.
That's
and they never
so
did.
That's so funny. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, it comes like you really have to sit through it.
You have to
you
know.
It's at the very end.
You have to know it's coming.
Yeah.
Who doesn't
Insider.
Know?
Insider. I know. I know. It's sort of like a, yeah.
That's funny.
Dara doesn't have fond feelings about Beauty and the Beast.
I don't.
We've been working through this lately.
Disney. Did you see Disney it? Classics. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen this. I don't even know if
I've seen the original.
Maybe. You know?
Why don't you like it?
I don't know. The music hasn't.
Did you say maybe to having seen the original?
It would have been a while ago, probably.
She didn't tell me the first time it came out.
Yeah. I don't have fond. I don't have memories of it. And the music just didn't stick with me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I was just going to say. No, it's.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely, you know, some problematic. Say, like.
Yes. She's
gender roles,
captivity.
Of course.
And, yeah.
And
I mean, there's all that stuff in every Disney movie. It's like, that's so fucked up.
And all the parents are dead.
Yes.
Yeah,
one.
It's always disturbing if you think about
never
it.
Never a happy family.
It's why
never.
We're so fucked up, guys.
Right.
Disney. Thank you, Disney. Yes.
Oh, this is very... Okay, we'll get to you in a second.
No,
but I just
want to
share this
all
with you guys.
It's
what totally we like cool. to talk about on the show. Yesterday, our friend Jess was talking about whatever boy troubles that she's been having. I hope she listens to this. And she was like, you know, like, I feel like guys grow up watching rom-coms like we do, and they get the wrong message from it. They think that all we want is this, like, romantic fairy tale relationship, and sometimes girls just want to fuck, too. And that,
that's
like,
so true.
The narrative has always been that rom-coms have destroyed girls for thinking that everything's going to be a fairy tale, but maybe they've given guys the wrong idea growing up, and that, like, they think that we can't sometimes just, like, want to have fun and not have a relationship.
Whoa.
That's tricky.
Right? Well,
I don't know. I mean, because going in
both
that
ways.
Direction is, like, a path that doesn't need to be explored. Like, you know, I don't think women wanting that is... not being explored in rom-coms is, like, not a thing that I worry about. I don't know. You know?
No, but I'm saying, like they are learning the wrong message from it.
That we want romance and
more than women
and
are
chivalry.
Learning the wrong message from it. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Anyway.
Okay.
Good for thought, guys.
I have to think about that.
Right?
Yeah.
That
does
bring me to your music, which I find. Because it is very much... it's very sexy. Like,
thanks.
I think a lot of it is, it's not just sexy in the way it sounds, which it is. It's tremendously, like, it gets you in the mood and the grooves and the, I love all the sounds, the pops and the snaps and the claps. It's a very, like, driving, funky, like, jazzy sound.
Yeah.
But it's very sexy, the topics.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, like, bedroom and,
you know,
not one night stands necessarily, but, like, casual fun, casual sex.
Totally. Yeah, thank you. My other half,
you're
Jeremy,
the
is not
the
here.
Rom-com.
Yeah. if you're fed up with rom-coms, come to Mary Hill. Yeah, thank you.
Do you and Jeremy write together?
We do.
Okay.
We write melody and lyrics together, which a lot of people don't expect.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm kind of lucky to have found a writing partner who sort of who approaches writing in the same way, and who is a champion of everything feminism. Sometimes I joke that he's a bigger feminist than I am.
Good.
It's really important that we always write from the perspective of a strong female character.
Yeah.
And
what's the assumption made that you write the lyrics and he writes the
music? And I think also because Marian Hill is the name of would often be perceived.
The music, man.
Yes, it is. It is not one person, but a lot of people think it's one person.
Dara is a huge
musical theater nerd.
I was waiting to see how long it would take her to bring up the music.
Yes,
how long was that? 2 minutes?
Yeah, that was good. I'm proud of you.
Not even. That's crazy. That's so impressive.
Oh, I was Amaryllis.
Yes.
I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's incredible.
So you played Marian Peru.
I did in eighth grade.
Eighth grade. In
this
your
wild.
Middle school.
I did.
And Jeremy played
Harold
Hill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you guys friends before then?
We were in choir together, and we kind of, I think, like, we knew each other, of course, but we didn't become friends until The Music Man.
That's
what
so
I like
cute.
To say.
Was there a little romance at the time?
Like off stage, are you
saying?
The 411? No, there wasn't.
Okay. Any awkward middle school slow dances together?
No, really, no. We've never been romantically involved other than in The Music Man on stage in eighth grade.
Probably very helpful and part of the reason why you're able to do what you do now.
Yeah, I think it's. Yeah, I think it's for the best.
Yeah.
I definitely think
that's great.
Yeah.
So what else were you like musically then? Or non musically, but what was your vibe? Were you total musical theater? nerd?
You know, it's funny. I knew that I loved singing, so I was a horrible actress, really. Really couldn't dance, but I just loved to sing. So musicals kind of were my outlet in school, along with choir. But no, I was a huge pop head, and I loved Norah Jones. Okay. It was like all things top 40 and Norah Jones.
That's funny. Sort of jazzy.
Yeah, it was like
especially
Totally. I was just discovering, and it's actually funny because I'm sure you sing.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, but I also realized around that time that my voice really didn't suit musical theater. I didn't have that like belting hit that E flat and a whole. You know, I was like, actually E flat was probably the highest I could go, but. That half step up was just super problematic.
Yeah.
And on my own, Les Mis was like the audition song, but everyone did that. And so they're like, oh, you have to find another one. And I really couldn't because everything is in the stratosphere and super high.
Was that a bummer to realize that it wasn't going to be your sweet spot?
You know what? No. It was kind of liberating. I think at that time I knew that I was okay to pursue sort of, you know, the recorded aspect.
And, yeah. Were you playing instruments or?
Not really.
Studying? Was there any piano lessons?
Voice lessons?
Yeah, not voice yet, actually. I was taking piano, but I really didn't practice. I was so bad.
Common tale.
Totally.
And like 10
piano
years later, you're like,
worst when
it was
you're
the
a
worst.
Kid.
Yeah. I know.
It's miserable.
And now I'm like, oh, I really should have studied theory. Right. I should know what that is. And it's, yeah.
But you at least have that foundation. You know what chords are.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so curious to think about like what music was being digested by people who become great electronic artists, because I imagine it wasn't that to start.
Yeah.
And at some point it diverges.
Yeah.
Right. And you start putting out stuff that's very different from what you were taking in.
Totally.
Growing up. So like when did you start veering down that path?
Yeah. No, it's actually funny because I was very scared of electronic music.
Uh-huh.
Kind of before Marian Hill, I was writing my own stuff, not very good. It was sort of singer-songwriter.
Uh-huh.
But I always responded to an authenticity in music, and I always responded to melody first and the humanity and the rawness of vocals. And for a long time, I couldn't connect with that in electronic music. And I knew it was cool, and I knew I should love it. But I just couldn't get there, and I felt sort of left out. And it wasn't until probably college, so like probably like 2011, 2012, that I really started to delve into it. And then Jeremy introduced me to sort of the stuff that was going on in the UK. So it was like Disclosure, Aluna George was a huge influence at the time. And together we sort of discovered our own brand of electronic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were at NYU.
I was.
He was at Yale.
Yeah.
So you were just keeping in touch and sharing music back and forth, influences. Like, what were you studying music?
I was studying music business.
Okay.
So great fallback.
Studying music business and writing a little bit and saying, oh, I wish I liked electronic music.
Yeah, and kind of. Yeah. I was like, I know I should love this. I want to be cool. I want to be in the know and be going to these cool underground shows. I'm in New York. Why can't I get behind this? And slowly I started to, but it took me a long time.
Yeah. Well, did you play with other musicians? Did you play like in your singer-songwriter style? Did you get out at all?
I did. I performed at the Bitter End. Way back in the day.
You hear that a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people start there.
It's so funny. I walked by the other day and got very nostalgic.
Yeah.
I was really so bad.
Lisa Loeb.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Vanessa Carlton.
Yeah. It's a New York institution.
It's so iconic.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh
so
God,
you played,
so
what kind of music was that?
Oh my God. Actually, some of it's probably still on YouTube, which is embarrassing.
Oh, nice.
And I shouldn't actually.
No, it's good for the fans.
Say that out loud.
Go find it, guys.
Do a deep dive. But yeah, some of it had sort of jazzy influences. The song I wrote called The City is probably the blueprint for my own personal style. Uh-huh.
How did you write on your own?
Piano, usually, and guitar. But I was bad. I only knew cliches, and I couldn't get out of like the G, E minor, D, C. It's like every pop chord ever.
I'm still stuck there.
Yeah.
My own personal.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, totally. Totally.
And then what was your thinking when you got out of college? What were you imagining for your career?
Yeah, so I was going to move to LA and be a top liner. So in school, I worked with a couple producers, and it just, for my own project, and it didn't totally feel right. Something just wasn't gelling. I liked it. I liked writing it, but I knew that I didn't necessarily want to sing that at the time. So I was like, let me take some time to figure out what my own sound is. I'm going to move to LA, write for other people, and pursue it that way. And that didn't happen.
What happened instead?
Yes. So
I mean, how were you prepared for the kind of hustle? I mean, it seems like you guys kind of like bypassed the crazy hustle and the like struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, does it feel like that?
Yeah, is that right?
It might not feel like that.
You know, it's funny. In some ways, it absolutely does. Like, you hear about bands. I almost think less so a little bit now with the internet, because you can release a song and, you know, overnight you have an audience. It is. It is. And for some people, I think there are varying degrees. I think it happens quicker for some people and not so much for others. But yeah, with Whiskey, we released it, and it's funny because I didn't even want to release it.
Why?
Because I was just coming around to this glossier pop world, and I was like, I don't know what this sounds like. I like it, but you need to tune the vocals. You need to do something
really?
To it.
You were like, this is fire. Oh my God.
I loved it, but I didn't know what it was. I was like, no one's going to like this except for us. I don't know what you're doing.
Because it wasn't your world, that kind of music.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, it was so simple. Like, it was my world, which is funny. It had everything that I loved about it. It was simple. It allowed me to really sing. It had jazz influence. It was soulful. And I was still like, no, you can't release this. And he was like, you're insane. I'm going to put it out there. I don't care what you think.
You're welcome.
Like, right. Yeah, exactly. 4 years later. Thank you.
Simplicity is really clutch in that genre, though.
Yeah.
Right? I'm thinking about it. I mean, fuck, look at Chainsmokers. Their songs are so simple.
Yeah.
Like Closer, Paris.
Totally.
I actually think I really am a fan of your songs, and I have different feelings about Chainsmokers, so I'm not making that comparison, I'm just thinking about how I think it helps in some way.
Yeah, and I should clarify, too, I think there are different types of I was talking about, it was, the music was so minimal, so I was scared of that. I was scared of
what were you scared would have happened? Like, why weren't you like, whatever, I don't care? Why were you against it?
I was just afraid. I was, like, afraid of blogs. I was afraid they're going to be like, which is stupid because they probably just wouldn't have responded if they hated it. But I was afraid that people would be like, as soon as you get out of the gate, this is terrible.
Wow.
You know, go back to obscurity.
Yeah, that's funny. I guess that's true. Like, if you're not big yet, no one will take the time to hate on you.
Right, exactly. But I was so freaked out. Like, this is our one shot out of nowhere, and they're going to hate it. And
was Jeremy thinking, like, this could do what it actually did? Or was he just like, I'm just going to take a stab in the dark. Who knows?
You know, it's funny. Jeremy is generally much more confident than I am. But he had high hopes for it, but certainly not the degree
you can't.
To which it has been. Yeah, totally. Oh, so to go back to your question, so we released the song and it did really well and exceeded expectations. But I mean, it's been a couple of years now, and I think we've definitely had moments of excitement and a lot of buzz, I would say around the release of Got It and Lips. It was on a steady trajectory, and then steady upward trajectory, and then some time passed and we released Act One, and it kind of did its thing, but it didn't really exceed expectations.
That was
in
2016.
That was June of last year.
Okay.
And then a couple months later, the Apple commercial happened.
All right, so let's talk about it.
Well, okay.
You're not ready?
So you feel like, right, because I'm, because Apple has certainly put you on a different stratosphere. That's fair to say.
Yeah.
But you had label interest out of the gate in 2013 with whiskey.
Yeah, we did.
Right,
yeah,
which is just something that, I mean, so I just want to finish the question of, like, were you prepared out of college to say, I'm going to go to L.A. and write? I mean, to conceive the difference of the kind of work that that is with the kind of, like, magic of, like, song on the internet, labels hitting you up. Like, that's just an insane thing.
It was so strange. Yeah. You know? I had no idea. I mean, truly. Yeah, I was going to move to L.A. and then Jeremy rented an apartment in New York, and I was like, all right, I'm going. This was a fun song. He's like, you're not leaving. I was like, no, I'm going to go. And then I just never, I never went.
You never
moved to New York.
That is some confidence, though, you know?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, our, like, instinct and, like, not wanting to kill your own momentum.
Yeah, exactly.
But there was no momentum. You know, it had to come from, it was, like, born out of, like, putting something online and blogs responding, which I think is even different now. Like, I feel like.
But I think a feeling can be momentum.
Okay.
Like recording a song and feeling like,
okay. Right.
Like this is a song.
This is something
this can
good
be a
to
thing.
Work off of. Right.
Like if I up and leave, then
and that's
we're not,
what
then we don't have more. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, admittedly, I stayed due to the early success of it because if people, you know,
hadn't
sort
responded.
Of. Right. Exactly. I would have been like, all right, see ya. Yeah. That was great. That was really fun. But
because wasn't the beginning success on Hype Machine?
It was.
Right. It was like before Spotify really.
Yeah. And it got to like number 9.
Is what it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Totally. We had like 20,000 plays on Whiskey and that was insane for us.
Yeah.
On SoundCloud.
Amazing. On SoundCloud.
On SoundCloud.
Yeah. That's like it's different even now 4 years later.
Totally different.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you ready,
Miles? Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to put this in perspective, this, like, crazy Shazam success that you had with Down from the Apple commercial. So the number one song in the country right now is Ed Sheeran's Shape of You, okay?
Of course.
So right now that song has about 9 million Shazams. The number two song after that right now on the Hot 100 is Bruno Mars's That's What I Like.
Mm-hmm.
Which only has 1.7 million Shazams. Okay. You guys, to date, have 3.3 million.
Nice.
So, yeah,
ooh,
you are still maintaining. Because when did this originally happen? In January?
The Apple commercial happened in January.
Okay.
Yeah. Mid-January.
So people are still, probably every minute that we're alive, being like, what is that amazing song?
Right.
And wanting to
Thank
find
you.
You guys. So I'm curious to know, what Shazam actually translates into for you? Do you think it translates into more streaming and sale? Like, do you feel that?
Well, it's actually funny. So I can probably talk about this, but a little secret is radio likes Shazam a lot. They use it as a metric to sort of gauge how reactive your song is.
Interesting.
So that was a huge factor in getting Down, so I've heard.
Radio play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's totally out of left field. It's not anything that you would expect to hear on the radio, especially pop radio. There have been previous, you know, like Royals has been, you know, things that you wouldn't expect. Gold.
Crazy.
Yeah. But so Shazam was great. It was super instrumental for that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. What is everyone?
No, totally.
Yeah. I mean, the success that it's not surprising, the level of success that's come
Thank
from
you.
An app. I mean,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
Well, it was very unexpected, though, because I think, like, we were growing up in the age of when those ads just came out, and it was very iconic, and you had, I mean, they broke careers, like Feist.
Mm-hmm.
But they hadn't been as.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't remember.
Yeah, it hasn't happened in a while.
Yeah.
So we were cautiously optimistic. And
so how did the commercial come about?
We've sort of known
showcases?
Each other.
You guys did that with Parlor Tricks, right?
Showcases?
Yeah, where you like play in front of people who could possibly place you in commercials?
Yeah, I think if you have a like, you know, booking agent and people, you have a team of people who are trying to make these relationships all the time. That's
totally.
Like their job.
It's actually interesting. Yeah. So we've done a couple showcases, but this we knew someone from Apple who reached out actually before we were signed.
Oh wow.
About Lips, funnily enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then some opportunities came up here and there, but it wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right song. And then it happened with Down. So it was a long process.
Yeah.
I just love thinking about who are these people who work in these places who are like the cool people. It's like, that's a song that needs to blow up.
It's such a good job.
It's such a cool job. Especially when the person's good at it. You know,
totally.
It's like, that's a song that's not plucked from obscurity, but it's a more unusual song.
Yeah.
And now it's the vibe that people are like jamming out to. And that's just such a cool tastemaker.
Totally.
Role.
And that song had bigger success than the product that it was selling. Right? Those wireless earbuds.
Maybe I actually have that.
That everybody hates.
I with me. Yeah, I do. Okay. I do.
I guess I shouldn't ask you to comment on that. Don't comment on that.
I love it. No,
that was my opinion, not yours.
Well, have you tried them, actually?
I have not. I have not.
Well, it's funny because a lot of people are like, there's no way that they work. Those are crazy. Right. They fall out. And
especially with that dance. And the dancing. And I'm like,
I know.
Right. But it's really good.
It's like, don't try this at home.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. No, but they actually, I mean, I'm careful with them. But they haven't fallen out yet.
Okay.
The quality is great.
There you go. Yeah, so you can stand Apple. Behind them.
I can. Yeah. I actually genuinely can.
Yeah.
They're cool.
How did the collaboration with Lauren from Fifth Harmony happen?
So
that's a big coup.
Yeah, that was.
Fifth Harmony is huge at Billboard. Just by speaking the words Fifth Harmony on this podcast, this is going to be like the biggest episode we ever had.
That's probably true. Thank you to our fans. It was crazy. Very unexpected. So she mentioned us in an interview with Ryan Seacrest, and I love telling the story because it was right around the time The Purpose came out, the Bieber record, and everyone in the group at the time, Ryan was like, oh, what are you into right now? And literally everyone was like, oh, I'm super into Justin Bieber, I'm a huge Bieber fan, this record, and Lauren out of nowhere is like, yeah, that's great, and Marian Hill. And everyone was like, what are you talking about?
Wow.
And Ryan Seacrest is like, I have no idea who they are. I mean, he's like flipping through his paper. He's like, I'm gonna have to check them out.
Yes, Dumping Ryan.
That's totally so great. Really
do you know what it was from that she had become a fan?
I think she mentioned one time.
Okay.
I don't know how she found it. Actually, I should ask her. I don't remember what it was. How she
originally
discovered us.
I found you first from Spotify. It's from a random playlist. So
okay.
It might
have been Spotify.
Yeah.
I should ask her. That'd be a good thing. Next time we hang out. How did you find us?
I love that song so much, by the way, one time.
Thank you.
It's like one of my favorite songs.
Thank you so much. Yeah. That number gets old performing.
Yeah.
It's a fan favorite. And
how
it's
was
good
it
when a fan
connecting.
Favorite is doesn't
a
make you want to perform all
I know,
favorite?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
How was the transition from making this music to having to learn to perform it and doing live shows, touring?
That's a really good question. It was really hard. For me, I never loved performing, truthfully. Even when I was doing my own stuff, I could at least hide behind a guitar or piano, but I never loved doing that. I loved singing, but I didn't quite know how to translate these songs that I was passionate about writing into a live performance. And there's a lot of space in our music.
Yeah.
And that also scared me.
It's very naked. It's the two of you. Well, and is the sax player always with you?
He's always with us live, except for when we play Down. There are a couple songs he's not on. So it's funny.
But still, that's very sparse. That's
naked. It's very sparse. And our music is also, it's very confident. It's very sexy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, it's like, I kind of joke that Marian Hill needs to be my alter ego because it's very, I'm not picking up men in bars every night, you know.
So that sounds like a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
It's like you can get up there and have a persona.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
You know, and you rock it. I don't know how much your style has evolved or how much that's been important to you to like find the right look. And
it's still
to compliment
evolving.
The vibe.
Thanks. Yeah. And it's still hard. And I think people hear the music and they expect a lot of different things.
You're back to blonde. We'll
I'm
say,
back
by
to
the
blonde.
Way.
Yeah. 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 I had to go brunette for a while to explore it. But yeah, so it was really hard and it's still developing. And it's sort of like I don't want to be like stripping on stage, but there does need to be some element of a sort of sensuality to it. Sensuality.
Yeah. I think you've got the performance. So you know, down. It's really
thanks.
Because there is a lot of expression coming from you and also from Jeremy. He's like for a synth, you know.
Yeah, he's super.
He's synth pads player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He really puts a lot of his body into it.
He does.
And so it's like Yeah. That's helpful.
It is helpful, yeah, because it feels like...
I like that you're trying to do no, he does. With your mind. Kind of thing.
I don't think any of us could really
over there.
Imitate. Yeah, no.
Spill it on the archives.
Right.
Woo, and there it goes. Right. I know.
Fired.
For those of you listening, we are in this beautiful...
Yes, beautiful
library yeah, closet. These,
very
it.
Beauty and the Beast. but, yeah, no, it allows me to play off of him, too. Which is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard. Are you guys touring a bit right now?
What's we happening? Are going on tour in May.
Okay.
May 22nd, we're opening our tour at Brooklyn Steel.
Yes. I haven't yeah. been there
me
yet.
Me either.
Me neither.
It's cool.
Yeah. I've,
better be
I've
cool
heard.
Brooklyn Steel.
I know. It's super new. Isn't LCD Sound System playing there like five?
No.
Five oh, nights yes, or something? Yes,
yes. Yep. That's dope.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Super crazy.
How long are you going to be on the road for?
About 3 weeks.
Okay.
So it's not too long.
Uh-huh.
We're doing East Coast, West Coast, a little bit of the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
When I think
is this your biggest tour so far?
No, we did a headlining tour of Act One in the fall of last
okay,
year.
Right, right.
And we hit a couple more cities. And then I think we're going to go on tour again in the fall.
How do you like touring?
I like touring. I really like touring. And the more that I play, I sort of, the more confident I become.
Exactly.
And,
of course, yeah.
And, yeah, so the more we do it, I feel like the better I am. So I don't like
that's
too
great.
Much time off.
Yeah.
And I really like traveling. I'm sort of
nice.
Comfortable and moving right now. I don't know. I feel very unsettled when I'm at home for too
oh,
long.
That's funny.
That's a perfect yeah. match then right now.
Yeah.
It is.
Right.
Yeah.
Feeling
yeah.
Long as it lasts.
Yeah. I'm like, put me on the road.
Yeah.
Send me away.
Where is home these days?
It's New York.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So LA hasn't gotten me yet.
Yeah.
Yet. I'm sure you'll have to do your time at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Every time I go out there, I'm like, oh. At some point, I've got
like,
to make
what
the
are we
move,
doing in this stupid weather?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's been so mild, so I feel like
that's
I can't
true.
Even complain.
Yeah, springtime in New York is the time.
Yeah, yeah. Like, give yeah. me a reason to go to LA and
right,
I can't
exactly. yeah.
complain about the weather.
Just wait till August,
the rain.
So it's disgusting.
Yeah, seriously, escape. When it's like 90 and gross.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. no, that's
right.
so true.
This is awesome.
Come to LA.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Thanks, Lady.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you,
you
so
stopping
much,
by.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, congratulations on everything.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yes.
It's really fun.
Are you down, did it down, did it down, did it down, down, down? Down, did it down, did it down, did it down, down, down. Are you down, 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 down?
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.